Acts chapter 20. This is where Paul is concluding his third missionary journey. He's making his way back towards Jerusalem. And he swings by Ephesus. You remember this? And he calls, without going into town, he calls for the elders of the church to come out there so he could have a last word with them and pray with them. And so that's what's the backdrop for these few verses we're looking at tonight. And just sort of breaking into what Paul's little speech was there, he says in verse 32 of Acts 20, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And then this is interesting. He says, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes," which sounds almost like you're listening to Samuel, doesn't it, at the end of his ministry. Then he says, "You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, we are still in our little series on these must statements in Scripture. I hope they've been encouraging to you. It's been encouraging to me just to see the definiteness of the will of God, the purpose, the plan, the power that's behind this, and that which governs the life of the believer. And if we do a brief survey of where we've been and what we've seen regarding the believer, we find these few things. We must be born again. You remember that from John's gospel. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll remember that from Paul's trip to the Philippian jail. We must decrease and Jesus must increase. That's the conviction of John the Baptist. We must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is what was told to the woman there at the well in Samaria and told to us. God is looking for such. We must obey God rather than men. And this is what fortified the first disciples there in Jerusalem. And we must enter the kingdom through many tribulations. They are like open doors to us and gateways into God's kingdom. But we must go that way. And this is, as we say, a brief survey. And then you look at these things and you think, well, all those things that you just quoted, except maybe the thing about tribulation, is wonderfully spiritual and almost even otherworldly. And if you listen to these things and think on these things, you can almost get the feeling, except for that verse about tribulation, that the Christian's feet never hit the ground, that he just sort of is carried along from glory to glory, as Paul would say, on this upward trajectory, getting more and more and more like Christ and less like the world, and all is well. And then we have this there in verse 35. You must help the weak and remember, and I think this is a dual thought here. We must help the weak and we must remember. And what must we remember? The words of our Lord who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," which of course gives you some sense of what he's trying to say about helping the weak. Well, this verse to me, in a way, sounds monetary. And I mean by that he says, "You yourselves know," verse 34, "that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me, and in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner." Now, you know what he is referring to, and we learn from the book of Acts that Paul was a tent maker. By training, he was a theologian and a Pharisee. But all the Jewish lads had to learn a trade, and so his was tent making, and so he learned how to do this. And we know that he would do this. We meet him first doing this in Corinth, and in comes Aquila and Priscilla, and they're the same trade, and so they start working together. And then they start fellowshipping, and there is great blessing in that friendship. But then we see him then going on to Ephesus, and we hear of work that Paul does there, and he tells these elders there of the church, he said, "You remember, I showed you," he said, "you remember what I did there, and by working hard with my own hands, in that manner, you must help the weak." And it sounds like what he is describing here is you work hard and you help, you have a little bit of money to pay for your needs and the needs of the guy who needs a little handout. It sounds like almost a monetary concern, and yet it's a larger concern than this. But first, let me backtrack a bit. Paul, when he went to Jerusalem, and this is an interesting section. I'm backtracking just a bit, but when he went to Jerusalem to confer with the apostles, he said, "I submitted to them the things that I'm preaching. And I want to make really sure that I hadn't run in vain or wasn't still running in vain, that do you agree with what I'm saying? I mean, this is what Christ has taught me. How does it sit with you?" And it wasn't that he was submitting himself to them. He was just double-checking himself. Had been like the guy who's doing research, right? And he says, "Let's get another authority on this. Have I really got it right?" And they said, "Brother, you got it. That's right. The only thing we'd ask you to do as you go off to the Gentiles and Peter goes off to the Jews, just do this. You remember what it was? Remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do." And this becomes something that is a driving force in Paul's ministry. You see him going from church to church, Gentile church to Gentile church, saying, "The saints are suffering in Jerusalem. And we're going to take up an offering, and we're going to give it to so-and-so, and he's going to carry it there and deliver it to the apostles, and they'll distribute it as there's need." This was just on Paul. It was with him. And he says as much to the church in Galatia as he writes to them. All right, so this helps me to feel originally that this verse had a lot to do with you must help the weak. Work with your hands, pay your bills, help those in Jerusalem. Work with your hands, buy your own stuff, help those in suffering Christians in other places. That sort of thing. Let me share with you a thought from Matthew Henry, who says this: "I rather understand this verse of their helping to support the sick and the poor and those who could not labor because it agrees with Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 4, which we'll read in just a moment. There is this that Paul wants to do, and it's larger than just giving money away. It's helping all sorts of need, remembering all sorts of want. Monetary, yes, but also other things as well, all other kinds of support. Well, does this seem like all of a sudden our feet have come crashing back down to earth? We were on this wonderful trajectory, weren't we? You must do this. And we started off with being born again and then going off into the kingdom of God. And then all of a sudden we have this. Remember, you must help the weak. And you must remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." Does it seem like we were just almost getting airborne and now we're back down? You've seen these birds that try to get off and they run down the lake and they're flapping to beat the band. And they just can hardly get up and then they touch back down again. Well, it seemed a bit like that. Well, maybe this isn't spiritual enough for some in the church. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. You must help the weak. Not spiritual enough. Well, what did Jesus say? This is the word of our Lord, and we'll look in vain to find this in one of the Gospels. But again, the theory is that when Paul went up to confer with Peter, he stayed there a number of days, that Peter must have shared this thought with him. The Lord said this. It didn't make it into Mark's Gospel or Matthew's or Luke's or John's. But it was just too good to lose, right? And so Paul shares it there with the elders of Ephesus. And Luke, the historian, records this for us. Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he pictures a whole life for the people of God there. He says, you want to know joy. And if anyone was qualified to say this, let alone the fact that he was the Son of God and the Lord of glory, was the one who had come to give and give and give of himself. And we wonder about that sense of blessing that he walked around in. Because he's always giving, wasn't he? And then he would say, I have received from others. I've received this and I've received that. All kinds of help. But it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we think, there's a spiritual law here at work that Paul is touching upon that is Christ-like in nature. This is like unto the life and the ministry and the very work of our Lord himself. And so when Paul is urging this, and it does look a certain way that we are helping the weak, that we are actually behaving like the Lord Jesus. Or again, think of this objection. Again, it's not spiritual enough. What happened in Ephesus when Paul was doing these things? Go back one chapter. This is an amazing thing. All the way over to, verse 10. Paul was there teaching daily in the school of Tyrannus there in Ephesus. So that all who lived in Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And listen, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. I suppose this is where prayer shawls and that kind of stuff gets its justification. But you see Paul at work here, making a tent, don't you? And he's sweating. And I remember Brother Johnson said this. This is like describing sweatbands that you've had around your brow. Or you've wiped your face with this rag. And someone says, can you come pray for my sick brother? And he says, I've got to get this thing done because we have a customer coming at 3. Well, here, take this. Take this rag drenched in sweat. Take this handkerchief and lay it on your brother. And what happened? The diseases left them and the evil spirits went out. Extraordinary miracles by the hands of the tent maker. Extraordinary miracles by the hands of the guy that was working his fingers at that point down to the nub. And God was blessing this. How unspiritual is work? You think, well, I'm going to quit what I'm doing. I'm going to become a tent maker. That's not the answer, is it? God was with the apostle, but he shows for everyone that this work of ministering and ministering to the needs of others can be extremely spiritual activity. Or, now, back to our verse in chapter 20, someone will say, well, now, wait. Now, this was given as a commandment to the elders of the church there. He has assembled these men. They're there, and they're kneeling on the beach eventually. they're going to pray together, but he's gathered the elders. And so he's saying to the elders that they're the ones that are to work, that they're the ones that minister to the weak, that they're the ones to help in all kinds of need. They're the ones that need to remember it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, wait. Dear old Matthew Henry referenced that commandment in Ephesians 4. I'll just read this to you. He says, let him who steals, steal no more. And so who's he addressing there? The guy that just got converted, the thief that just, you know, he was just converted to Christ. And he's shaking his hands of a bad habit. And it's hard for him to walk by a counter where goods are displayed and not just try to pilfer them. This is what Judas did. But this it motivates some people. But he says, you must steal no more. But rather, what? He must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. And so the newest guy in the congregation that's just been converted, maybe just got released from his jail cell, and he's trying to fellowship with the saints, and he's trying to break from bad habits, the injunction to that fella is exactly the same thing that Paul said to these elders on the beach there outside Ephesus. You must labor with your hands, and you must help the weak, and you must remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the rainbow over all of this, isn't it? Jesus said this. Jesus preached this. Jesus lived this. And we get involved in these things and we realize that, no, our feet actually do touch the ground, don't they? There is a very practical part of being a Christian. And it's not just belief and cogitation and working on the things, the inner attitudes. These are essentials. These are musts. But there's this thing, too, that governs our everyday life. We must help the weak. And we must remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, these things are preparing us for our Lord saying, I must bring them. And he's describing bringing the Gentiles from other folds, and he must bring them. He must bring them into his fold. He must bring them to the Father. And then what's going to happen with them? All of this that we're doing here, all of the we're laboring with our hands, we're praying over the needs of the earth, we're trying to do what good we can in the midst of this world, giving rather than receiving. And he's preparing us for something. This mortality must put on the immortal, and we must stand before him to give an account. So, as we go through these things and we're nearing the conclusion, I hope that something in your heart says, yes, Lord, I must do this, and you must help me. Let's pray.